Thank you, Bill and Jordan, and each one who participated, including you in our opening this morning. I'm going to move this stool up here. You didn't leave that out for me to stand on, did you, Bill? Oh, you need that stool? They're going to start the new year out right with me standing on a stool. Get to turn the mic up and feel like a big, tall guy, but that's all right. Well, Happy New Year. Some of you got to say Happy New Year to you on as the year started, but not everyone. So we are really glad that you are here and starting off your new year, the Sundays anyway, by being here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. And it's a great privilege to meet together. For a number of years now, this local assembly has sought to have an emphasis or a theme that the elders set for every year. In no way do we minimize anything else that God calls us to do. We know there are many things that we're to be focusing on as believers in the Lord Jesus, those of us who are saved, but we like to draw our attention as an assembly toward one area that we can really emphasize together and work together on in a particular year. So this year, we are emphasizing personal daily devotions. Now, just as a little introduction here as we get started, some people might say, what are devotions? Other people might say, why are you emphasizing that? It's so obvious. That's so elementary. But you know, the Lord said it's good to be reminded of things that we already know, to be challenged, to be exhorted, and also to move forward, to grow. We've never arrived. Paul said he was always pressing forward. He was also always reaching out. He was always seeking to mature more in the things of the Lord. And we've never arrived. And if we think we have spiritually, we really need to watch out. Because when we think we stand, we better be careful. The Lord says it's a good chance we're going to fall. You know, the word devotion itself means a dedication or a commitment to a cause or a person or something else. And for the one who knows Jesus Christ as Savior, of course, our devotion, our commitment, our dedication is to the Lord Jesus Christ and to knowing Him. Now, when you put an S on that word devotion, you come up with what we call devotions. Devotions is not really something that you will likely find in Webster's dictionary. It's something that maybe we as believers in some way have coined. Devotions really speaks of private, if you do find it in a dictionary, it'll probably tell you it's private worship or private religious exercise. Sometimes we refer to devotions as a quiet time, or maybe a time alone in the Word of God and in prayer. It's really a time of meeting with the Lord. It's what we'd like to think about this morning and really this year as a time individually at the feet of the Lord Jesus. At the feet of the Lord Jesus. We're emphasizing personal devotions this year. In other words, an individual is being challenged, and that individual is you. Family devotions are important. Devotions together as a couple are important. And there may be other people with whom you gather or meet, two of you, three, more, where you gather together for a time of being with the Lord. And that's valuable too, but what we'd like to stress this year is personal time for you and the Lord. And of course, you're responsible for yourself personally. We'd like to encourage each other. We would like to hold each other accountable this year. But ultimately, we're responsible individually for our personal devotions. And these devotions that we're emphasizing for this year are personal daily devotions. We'd like to encourage consistency for you to choose a time that works for you and commit to it. And you may say, I'm already doing that. Well, we'd like to challenge everyone in this assembly to this year commit to stepping up in your time of devotions, in your quiet time, in your time alone with the Lord, at whatever level you are doing that now, we would like to encourage you to step that up. And as we consider together this morning some scriptures, we'll make some additional comments on that. The example that I'd like for us to look at this morning is the example of a woman. Her name was Mary. This Mary lived in a town called Bethany, about 2 miles due east of Jerusalem. And we see her 3 times in the scripture, and each time we see her, she's at the feet of Jesus. You may have heard messages, maybe a number of messages, on Mary at the feet of the Lord Jesus. We're going to hear another one this morning. This morning, though, we're going to be focusing our attention on how Mary at the feet of the Lord Jesus can help us this year, 2009, as we as an assembly and individually commit to spending time daily at the feet of Jesus. And from these 3 times, we'll see her there at His feet. I believe we can glean 3 ingredients of successful, meaningful, and beneficial personal daily devotions. Because personal daily devotions bring us to the feet of the Lord Jesus. And they involve reading, revealing, and responding. I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And we're going to think about reading, or as we see Mary doing here, hearing. We're going to see her hearing the words of the Lord Jesus, and we know that we hear the words of the Lord Jesus not through Him physically and audibly meeting with us, but rather we hear by reading the Bible, by listening to His voice in the Bible. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, we read, "Now it came to pass as they went," that's Jesus and His disciples, "that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, 'Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, or anxious and disturbed about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" You notice there in verse 39 that this lady, Martha, into whose house the Lord Jesus had come and was obviously going to be eating a meal, she had a sister named Mary. Now, she also had a brother named Lazarus, and we'll read about him later. He's not mentioned in this particular passage. But Martha was busy preparing the meal for the Lord Jesus. A good thing to do. She was serving. She was working. Her sister Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet and hear what He was saying. They were having a conversation. She was listening. And though the Lord Jesus will not meet with us physically, in bodily form, when we have our time of personal daily devotions, our quiet time, yet He will meet with us and He will speak with us, for we have the privilege of hearing His voice in a one-to-one conversation as we read His Word. As we read the Bible, as we read the Scriptures. Some of you have been having your daily devotions for years. But there may be some here this morning, and in all honesty, you don't have devotions. You don't have a quiet time. And you may be wondering, I don't even know what to read. What should I read? Well, there are many different things you could do. Some people just open the Bible up and read a verse. If you don't do anything, that's better than not doing anything. And so if you just open up your Bible and read a verse and ask the Lord to speak with you, then that's great. But I would encourage you to do more than that. And if that's what you have been doing, I would encourage you to step that up a notch. Some of you use our daily bread. or Days of Praise, both of them made available here, or maybe another devotional booklet. And oftentimes those devotional booklets will have a scripture verse. You know what? We'd really like to encourage you this year. It's wonderful to read the devotionals that someone else has written, but don't miss hearing the voice of the Lord to you in His Word. That's how He'll speak to you. So at least read that verse that's there on the devotional page. But I think that in most devotionals, you'll find also a passage that likely ties in with that devotional thought for the day. Or maybe it's some other Bible reading. But I would encourage you, and we as elders would encourage you, to read more than the one verse. To read consistently, going through that devotional book, or possibly you're finding that you're drawn to a particular book of the Bible. If the Lord is speaking to your heart about the book of Ephesians, or the book of Luke, or the book of Lamentations, or the book of Deuteronomy, go and commit to reading through that book, not necessarily at one sitting, but that you're going to read through that book. Maybe you'll read a paragraph. Many Bibles are divided into paragraphs, which carry a thought. Or maybe you'll read a chapter that day alone with the Lord. Or maybe, depending on your schedule and your time, you may read more than that. You may read two or three chapters in that passage. But remember, whatever you're reading, and however much you read, your goal is to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. Mary was sitting at His feet, hearing, we read, His Word. She heard His Word. She listened to what He said. Maybe this year you'd like to read through the Bible, starting at Genesis and going to Revelation. Maybe you have a Bible reading plan that will take you chronologically through the Bible, in the order actually in which the events happened. Or maybe you have some other plan for reading the Bible. The important thing is that you are reading the Bible, that you are hearing the Word of the Lord Jesus to you. How much do you read? That depends on how much time you have to commit to that, or how much time you are willing to commit to that. Read the Word of God. Whatever is practical for you, set a practical, reachable goal. If you only have 5 minutes, take 5 minutes. If you need to do it first thing in the morning, that's a great time to do it. Get up a little early. If you can do it on your lunch break, do it then. If you do it when you first get home, that's fine. If you do it right before you go to bed at night, whatever works for you, do it. The important thing is that you're at the feet of the Lord Jesus, listening to Him, listening to His Word. And like Mary, I'd like to give you 2 points under each of these three headings. First of all, for Mary, we need to be like her, in that we need to be alone with Him. She was sitting, verse 39 says, at Jesus' feet. Now, there were other people around. Martha was in the house. Lazarus may have been in the house. Possibly some of the other disciples or other visitors may have been in the house. We don't know. We know Martha was there. But Mary, her focus was on the Lord Jesus. Her focus was on hearing what He was saying. She was separated from everything else, no matter how important it was, for a private one-on-one time with the Lord. Now, it's definitely better, if you can, to be in a place where you're less likely to be disturbed. One evening, a preacher from another country was visiting the United States, and this is in the old days of the telephone booth, the old days. You can't find those much anymore. He went into a telephone booth in the evening to make a phone call, and he was trying to see the number, but this phone booth was different from his own, the phone booth in his home country, and it was dark, and he couldn't find the number in the directory. He noticed there was a light in the ceiling, but he couldn't figure out how to get it on. He didn't see a switch. And he kept trying to find that number in the fading twilight, and a passerby noticed what he was doing and came over and said, "Sir, if you want to turn the light on, you have to shut the door." And to his amazement and satisfaction, when he shut that door, the light came on. And when he was all alone, separated, cut off from what was going on the outside, the light came on and he was able to hear what the person needed to tell him when he made that phone call. And so we need to be alone with him, recognizing that he is present. Peter, James, and John were on a mountain with the Lord Jesus one day, and we read there that a cloud overshadowed them while they were there, and a voice came out of the cloud, and the voice said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And we read that suddenly when they looked round about, they saw no man anymore except Jesus only with themselves. And that's our goal. And getting alone with him, to just see him and to just hear him for that minute, that 5 minutes, that 30 minutes, that hour, that it might be just listening to him. She was alone with him and she was attentive to him. It says in verse 39 that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She was at his feet. That was an ancient posture of the disciple or the learner. The disciple or the learner came in and demonstrated their humility before the teacher. And Mary did that. She was saying, in essence, "I want to hear what you have to say, and I wanted to submit to what you tell me." And we, alone with the Lord Jesus, must recognize that he is speaking. And we must be willing to listen, to learn, and to change, that he might give us what we need for that day. Mary was hearing, and that word also means that she was considering what she was hearing, and she was understanding. And we need understanding what she was hearing. And we need to go to the Word of God and listen for the voice of the Lord Jesus. We need to approach our devotional time with the heart attitude of listening intently. Just like a newborn baby, we need to crave the pure milk of the Word that we can grow thereby. So we start out by reading, by listening, by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Like Mary, we need to be alone with him, and we need to be attentive to him. Over in John chapter 11, where I'll ask you to turn now, we see the second of the three times that Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, the second time that she is mentioned. And again, we're going to see her at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And first we saw her hearing, and that reminded us that we need to be reading the Word of God. But secondly, we see her saying. She is speaking. She is revealing to the Lord Jesus what is on her heart. Now, he already knows, by the way. Praying is not a matter of opening God's understanding. It's telling God what's on our heart. He already knows, but he wants us to come to him and reveal, as it were, what is on our hearts. And we see her revealing. And we reveal our hearts by praying. We'll read just a couple of verses here, several verses in John 11 for sake of time. Verse 1 begins the context. "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." We see that this man was sick. Look at verse 5. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." So there's a relationship here between the Lord Jesus and Lazarus and Martha and Mary. There's a relationship. And that reminds us that in order to have a time alone with the Lord Jesus that it's going to make any difference in our lives, there must be a relationship. We must have come into the family of God by faith in the one whom we are meeting. Faith in the one who loved us and died for us. He loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, and he loves you. And he died for you. He sacrificed his life for you. He shed his blood for you that your sins might be forgiven and removed as far as the east is from the west. And he has risen again to glorified life And in that life, he says, I want to meet with you. I want you to come to me. I love you. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have a relationship with him. He doesn't hear what you say when you pray. Look at verse 14. Then Jesus said unto them, his disciples, plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus, who was sick, whom Jesus loved, he died. Verse 20 tells us, as the Lord Jesus and the disciples came to Bethany, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. So Martha goes out to see him. Mary's still in the house. And now down to verse 28. And when Martha had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly or privately, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. You know what? The Master has come and he's calling for you. He's calling for you to come and meet with him alone. To have that time with you and him, he's calling for you. Verse 29, and as soon as she, Mary, heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. When Mary made the recognition that the Lord Jesus wanted her to come to him and reveal her heart, she hurried to get there. And I hope that we will do that this year, recognizing maybe instead of sitting in the house, we're lying in the bed. Or we may be sitting in the recliner. Or we may be walking down the street or riding in the car. But when we sense that the Lord is calling us, the Master is calling for us, that we might make sure that we carve out that time to be alone with Him, not only to read, but to reveal. Not only to look into the Scriptures, but to open our hearts in prayer. Look down in verse 31. The Jews then, which were with her, with Mary in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. There's much that could be said, obviously, about this passage. But we want to focus on the fact that Mary came to where the Lord Jesus was in response to his call, and she fell down at his feet, saying. She fell down at his feet, revealing her heart. And for us, we do that through prayer. He's not there physically with us, but he is there. When we go to where he is, he says, meet me. Come to me. We need to hurry up and get there and fall before him in prayer. You might say, how do I pray? Most here this morning have years of experience praying. And they would share with you, it's talking with the Lord. It's recognizing that He is there and that He hears and that He desires for us to reveal our hearts. It's speaking to Him. It's just like Mary did. She said, and it's conversing with the Lord. From our hearts. It may be helpful to have a prayer list because we may not be able to remember everything we want to pray about. It may be helpful to go to the Word of God and even what I've read in my time in the Scriptures, pray that back to Him. Find something in there that I want to share back with Him and reveal my heart. He's put that in my heart as I've read it. Praying. You know, in talking with the Lord and revealing our hearts to Him, we, like Mary, need to do so, first of all, with humility. We read there in verse 32 that she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord. Can you see her? Can you visualize that? The Lord Jesus standing there by the grave, and here comes Mary, and she falls down at His feet in a posture of humility. And in 1 Peter 5:6, we're told to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. To recognize who He is. She addresses Him as Lord. She is reverential in her approach. She recognizes, though, this is one who has been in her home before. She has sat at His feet. She has listened to His voice. She knows Him well. He loves her. But she doesn't come in flippantly. No, she addresses Him as Lord, as Master. She recognizes who she is before Him. And she's so thankful, as we should be, that we come to the throne of grace. That's where we find help. That's where we find grace to help in time of need. That's where we find mercy. It's at the throne of grace. We don't deserve to be there. We come there because of who He is. So she addressed Him with humility. We should do that in our time of prayer. And she also addressed Him with honesty. She fell before the Lord Jesus and said, "Lord, if You had been here, Lord, if You had been here," she expresses her disappointment. "Lord, things have happened in my life and my brother has died and Lord, it's hard for me. Because I know You could have stopped that if You had chosen to." The Lord wants us to open our hearts. He knows what's on our heart. He wants us to tell Him. The Lord Jesus Himself in Luke 22, there, being in an agony, praying more earnestly, sweat dropping off of Him, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And He says, "Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from Me." He opened His heart. "Nevertheless, not My will, but Thy will be done." We should come before Him, and I believe that was Mary's heart, it seems to be. "Lord, if You had been here." But you know, she was not only expressing her disappointment, she was expressing her faith, wasn't she? "Lord, if You had been here, He wouldn't have died. Lord, I know that You have the ability. I know that You love Him. I know that You are sovereign." She had confidence. And you know what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. We must go to Him in humility. We must come before Him in honesty. And isn't it interesting to note that in an unusual, unexpected way, Mary's prayer, if you want to call it that, was answered, wasn't it? Because as we read on, we see that the Lord Jesus raised her brother from the dead. The Lord hadn't been there purposefully because He was going to glorify the Father and glorify Himself in raising Lazarus from the dead. And He allowed Mary to participate in what He was going to do anyway. God is sovereign, but He says, "I'm going to let you be a part of it. I'm going to let you come and I'm going to let you pray for this person. I'm going to allow you to pray for that ministry. I'm going to let you be a part of interceding for this nation. I'm going to let you come before Me and reveal your heart concerning the unsaved in this world. I'm going to allow you to do that." God's going to do the work, but He lets us participate through praying. Can I encourage you to step up in your revealing? Can I encourage you to spend more time in prayer? Can I encourage you to expand the focus of your praying? Can I encourage you to go to the New Testament and find some of Paul's prayers in the epistles and learn from those about how we can pray more spiritually focused prayers for others? Step up in your revealing. The next chapter in our Bibles is John 12. And that's the third place we see Mary of Bethany. And through her hearing, we've been challenged to read. And through her saying, we've been challenged to reveal. And now through her doing, we're challenged to respond. Respond by yielding ourselves. Look at verse 1 of John 12. We'll read the first three verses. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor or the aroma of the ointment. It's another meal in their house at Bethany. The Lord Jesus is there. Martha's serving again. Lazarus is sitting at the table. And Mary comes into the room. And she's carrying 12 ounces of very expensive, and sweet-smelling ointment. And where does she go? She goes to his feet. And there at his feet, she, as it were, responds to those times she's had alone with him. She responds to that time she sat at his feet and heard his word, and she might have done that many times. One is recorded in Scripture. She responded to that time that she fell at his feet and revealed her heart to him. She may have done that many times. We read about it once in the Scripture. To who he is and what he had done, she applied to her life what she had acquired from that time of hearing and talking. And in responding to the Lord Jesus, in submission at his feet, we need to yield to him like she did. First of all, we need to yield our gain. Our gain. She brought this ointment, very costly. And we're to yield up to him everything we are and have, recognizing it's all from him anyway. And everything we've gained from spending time alone with him, every prayer he has answered, every blessing he has poured out on us, we're to offer that back up to him, knowing that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. And that everything we have is not of ourselves, but we've received it from him. And we need to offer and yield all of that back up to him. Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. She responded through action, through doing, through yielding her gain. And also, you notice, through yielding her glory. For not only did she pour out that expensive perfume, that expensive oil on his feet, then she took her hair and wiped his feet. The lowest part of a person, their feet. The glory of the woman, we read in 1 Corinthians 11:15, her hair. And so like Mary in her submission at the feet of the Lord Jesus, responding to him, responding to those times alone with him by doing, she yielded her glory. And so must we yield up all that we are, all that can make us glorious, all that can make us look good, and to give it back to him and say, Lord, it's yours. Do with it what you want. You must increase, so I must decrease. You must be seen, so I must be hidden. Step up. Can I encourage you to step up in your responding? I hope that as you take the Scriptures this year, and as you realize, as you read the Word of God, never read the Word of God where you don't see yourself by faith sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Realize as you read that He's there as the teacher. Step up that reading. Maybe you want to start journaling this year, writing down a thought that the Lord gives you from your reading that you might go back and look at that later in the year or later years. Step it up. Step up that revealing. Spend more time in prayer. Be more focused in prayer. And whenever you pray, never spend time alone praying that you don't recognize that your spiritual posture is at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And step up and you're responding. Don't just take it in from the Scripture and open your heart to the Lord Jesus in prayer, but commit. Apply what you have learned as you read the Scripture. Draw out something for that day. Draw out something that the Lord Jesus is telling you to be aware of, to start doing, to stop doing, to be sensitive about. Commit to taking that and not only seeing what it is, but truly yielding up everything you are and saying, I'm at your disposal. Lord, by your Spirit, work through me today. Don't neglect your devotions. Don't neglect that quiet time with the Lord. Many of you are familiar with William Wilberforce. He was a Christian statesman of Great Britain in the late 18th and early 19th centuries. There was a movie, Amazing Grace, made about his fight against slavery in Great Britain. And he once said, I must secure more time for private devotions. I have been living far too public for me. The shortening of private devotions starves the soul. It grows lean and faint. May we hear the words of William Wilberforce. William Wilberforce, a great man, a busy man, a man used by God, was a man who recognized, I must spend time alone at the feet of Jesus. And our encouragement to you for this year, our encouragement to ourselves this year, is to step it up. That we might all grow in our relationship, in our fellowship with the Lord. That we might be more prepared to be used by Him. That we might know Him better. That our lives might be changed. That we might be more yielded to Him as we spend time alone with Him, hearing His voice, opening our heart to Him in prayer, and then yielding our all to Him in response. Let's encourage one another. Let's challenge one another. Don't be afraid this year to walk up to anybody in this assembly and say, how are you doing with your personal daily devotions? We all need to be ready. Now, don't let that keep you from coming. If you hadn't been doing it, come on out and face the music and say, hey, I failed this week. Will you pray for me next week? There's no shame in that. Let's do it together. It's wonderful to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Let's grow in that relationship. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You this morning for everyone gathered out here. Lord, You've drawn us out this first Sunday of the year. We've come probably for different reasons. Father, we came needing different things, but we thank You that Your Word is profitable for everything. And Father, we pray that this morning as we have considered together what You have recorded about Mary of Bethany, and Father, we have sought to make application to our own time alone with You in devotions. Father, we pray that just where each of us is individually, You will touch our hearts. You will speak to us through Your Word this morning, that we will have a fresh awakening, a fresh understanding of what it is that You would have us to do in regard to this very important time at Your feet. Thank You for that wonderful privilege. Father, give us a great year of serving, worshiping, fellowshipping, praying, growing. And Father, may it be fueled by our time at the feet of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you.